Oh, my goodness, goodness, goodness. And we shouldn't be surprised. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Capo, California, with the Instant Illumination. Oh, we shouldn't be surprised. Yes, 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 yes. Yes. Little Love has been putting on a show around the table for the last few days, or years, or eternity. And he comes to the table, and he begs for food, he begs for this, he begs for attention, he's crying. And we laugh at that and think, isn't that cute, isn't that interesting? And then when we stack up the dishes and he realizes that's the end of the possibilities, he goes away. And all we did was stack the dishes. But otherwise, we had to listen to his caterwauling. For a dog, making a caterwaul is pretty good. Now, why do we do that? Why do we allow ourselves to think that the dog is controlling us when actually we are putting those causes in motion ourselves? We are thinking that the dog is hungry, and he's not. We're thinking that the dog wants attention. And sure, he wants attention because you want attention. You just love having him want you. And so that makes it very nice. When a dog comes up to you and lays on your feet and says, you're nice, you know, what can you do but think, gosh, I must be nice. You know, the dog comes and lays on my feet. I must be something special. Well, the dog's not saying that at all. He's rolling on your feet because he finds that a very comfortable place to be, and he likes to get your vibrations. He likes to get your whatever, you know. And he doesn't want anything unless you want him to want it. If you think he wants treats, he wants a treat. Now, every time Ingeborg goes out on the porch to get Rex in here so that he'll walk home in the evening, she offers him a treat. And Ellen offers him a treat. And Sylvia offers him a treat. And he thinks, I would rather deal with these ladies than with my dad. My dad doesn't offer me any treat. He just says, come, we're going home. And there's no treat involved. I mean, if I gave him a treat every time I wanted him to respond to what I want him to respond to, he would be quite a big dog. And he's a big dog as it is. And I don't give him hardly anything, really. So, Ellen laughs because she says she doesn't give her dog anything, and she knows what she gives her dog.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But, you see, the animals in our world only expect what we expect them to expect. And when we expect them to expect treats, expect them to be bribed to do something, then that's what they must do. And that's what treats are. Treats are a bribe to get some pet to do what you want it to do. Now, is that what we really want to do? Do we want to bribe our pets to have them be friendly and cooperative?
No.
Now, is there any other place where you've heard of bribes? Chanel, better?
What is bribe?
A treat to make you do something.
Okay.
Huh?
Okay, I now
where?
Understand.
Where else have you heard of a bribe? With children. People raise children with bribes.
Oh.
And the bribe, number one, is their allowance, you know. And you don't get your allowance unless you do these things around the house. And that should not be the allowance. The allowance is, this is a portion of the family income that you have earned because you are a member of this family. Now, as a member of this family, you can do anything you want with it. You can save it, you can spend it, you can do what you want. And then, after that's all done and forgotten, now you say, now, it's your turn to wash the dishes tonight, or it's your turn to do this, or your chore is every Saturday you're going to clean the basement or clean the garage or do whatever you're supposed to do, you know. Mm-hmm. And so, that's just your chore. And your chores are from being a member of the family. Mother's chores are what mother's chores are, dad's chores are what dad's chores are, and brother's chores are what brother's chores are, and sister's chores are what sister's chores are. And there's no bribing. If there's bribing, then there's problems. Now, you cooperate, and I'll buy you a brand new dress, you know. You cooperate, and I'll get you that toy that you've been wanting to have so badly, you know. And no, no, no. We were watching a movie the other night, and the little girl saw this dog that she wanted so, so very, very much. And she was about 12 years old, maybe 13 or 14. But anyhow, she was supposed to be representing someone younger. And she said to her mother, "Mother, can I have that dog?" And the mother said, "I don't know, you know." And, "Mom, I love that dog." "I'm not sure." "No, Mom, I love that dog." Mother didn't say no, you know, and that's it. She just said, you know, "Keep begging." And so the little girl said, "Well, you know, that can be my birthday present. And in fact, that can be my birthday present for next year, and next year, and next year, and next year, and forever, you know. That can be my birthday present. But he's such a nice little beagle, you know, and I'd just love to have him." And finally the mother relented, you know. Now, the mother should have said, "Hey, if you're going to take care of that dog and maintain the dog, he stays. The moment you don't take care of him and you don't feed him and it's not your responsibility, he falls on me or somebody else, out he goes. He goes to some other home where they'll appreciate him, you know. But you take care of him and he's your responsibility 100%. And if anything, he does anything wrong, it's your fault. If he chews up somebody's shoe, you buy them a new pair of shoes." Yeah. "If he does something naughty, then you have to take care of it, because otherwise, he's my dog, and I'd have to take care of it if that's what the case is, you know." And we don't do that. We bargain with our children, we bargain with our pets, we bargain with our associates, we bargain with our brothers and sisters and mother and father to try to get the things that we want to get. And then we wonder why it's no fun. Because it's really no fun. When you have to shout and scream and bargain and holler to get something, it's not a lovely experience at all. But when it is something that is freely and lovingly given because, hey, I wanted to do that. I wanted to do it. Now, my trip up to see Gregor and Rochelle and Bailey, if I leave right after visiting Dr. Kwok in the morning, I can be up there for his birthday the next day. And that would be kind of nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
So, you know, that's just a thought. Now, do I have to bring him a present?
No, you are the present.
That's what the point is. I am the present. Now, when a little child comes up to its mother and says, "Mommy, I love you. Today's your birthday, so I'm giving you a present, Mama." What is that? Me. What would you like me to do today that would make you real happy? Because I am giving you me for the day to do anything you want with. You tell me anything and I will take care of it. And the mother is, "Let's go to the store and buy some candy." But the mother loves that kind of a present. I mean, that kind of a present is more priceless than any present you could ever dream about. Why don't we expect those are the type of presents that people give us? Why don't we expect that that's the kind of present that Rex gives to me? Or that Little Love gives to Ellen? Or that Rex gives to any of us? The present of gentleness, cooperation, caring, and sensitivity? Now, basically, he does that. Basically, they do that. But the thing is, we have been too blind to see it. And the sooner we start really paying attention that this is what our pets are doing, they're just unconditionally loving us. And we can unconditionally love them. "Oh, you're so wonderful, I'm going to give you a treat." "I don't give you a treat because you're so wonderful. I give you a treat because I love you. It has nothing to do with your being wonderful or your being not wonderful. I love you. I'm giving you a treat because I love you. And that is my unconditional love." And conditional love, "I'll give you a treat if you'll be a good puppy now. You know, now I'm giving you a treat. Now you behave, you know." And that doesn't make any sense to a puppy. and it doesn't make any sense to a person, you know? You know, there was this hobo story we saw the other night, and the woman wanted to give the hobo boy a pair of shoes, and he says, "I can't take them." She says, "But I want you to, because it's my gift to you." He said, "Well, if you let me work for them," she says, "you accept them because I'm giving them to you, because I want to give them to you." I mean, you would have to work so hard and do so much to pay for the shoes if you had to pay their price. But I want you to have them, because he didn't have a good pair of shoes. And so she gave it to him. And he accepted. But it was contrary to his ethics for himself. His ethics were, "I will work for my food, I will not be a beggar." But he had to also learn to be a member of the community. And as a member of the community, many things are shared with you that you haven't paid for, that perhaps by your existence in the community you pay for, but otherwise not. So think of these things when you're dealing with your dogs and your cats and your children and your husbands and your wives and whomever are in your lives. Whenever you do that, you'll find magic comes into your world when you recognize that everything we want to do is because we are unconditionally loving. And our pets are unconditionally loving to us. Our children and our husbands and wives and uncles and aunts and cousins and grandmas and grandpas and whomever we may have in our world, aunts and uncles, they're all what?
Unconditional
love. And that's all. Now, in the movie, was the mother unconditional love?
Yes.
100%. Now, were there times that you thought, sure, she would not fall into the unconditional love experience? I mean, because it was pretty tough. It was pretty. People were making demands on her that were not very gentle or loving. And yet she unconditionally loved, and she looked beyond all of the illusions where it might be misunderstood. Now, that's an art. But that's an art that you come to. Of course, she was that way before. When she was at good times, she cared as much about her neighbors and everybody as when she herself was in bad times, because it became bad times for everybody, losing their homes and losing their world and stuff like that. Fantastic, right? Think about it. Unconditional love is the key to the door to eternal life right now, right here, living in the now. So join me in this wonderful experience, because I love it, and I know you will too.
Thank you.
I love you eternally.